Welcome once again to the ESU Buzz, and we're very pleased to be joined on the program this morning by Dr. Joanne Brewer. Joanne is the Interim Vice Provost at Emporia State and Dean of the Teachers College. Joanne, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning.
Thanks for taking some time to join us. Also, Jerry Spotswood. Jerry is the Dean of the Graduate School at Emporia State. Jerry, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Doing well. How are you?
Doing fine, thanks. And Gwen Larson, Director of Media Relations at Emporia State. Gwen, good morning.
Good morning, Ron. How are you?
Doing good. Thank you all for taking some time to join us here on The Buzz.
And we have a lot to talk about here today, specifically when it comes to campus realignment. And we know that the Framework for Workforce Management has gotten a lot of attention when it comes to that over the last 2 weeks since this was brought up to the public. But there's more to it than that. And we really wanted to dive into, at least starting off our interview here today, exactly why the realignment process is taking center stage now. And Joanne, I wanted to get started with you on the factors that have been driving the realignment process and really how long this has been a concern for campus administrators.
As many know, enrollment on the campus has been declining for some time, especially the on-campus enrollment, and that on-campus enrollment has significant implications not only for the Emporia State University campus, but also for the community. So that's one factor. The other factor that's impacted ESU's financial situation has been the allocation of state funds into higher education has been declining for years. And one of the things that we've seen since 2008 is we've experienced significant cuts multiple times. And in fact, those have occurred probably with more regularity in the last few years. And as that continues to happen, it impacts programs at ESU, it impacts students, and it impacts faculty and staff. And one of the things that we haven't done in a while is provide meaningful salary increases for faculty or staff. And so with all these things combined, ESU cannot continue in this pattern and get to a point where we are successful and sustainable without taking some action of some kind to look at realignment of how we do things.
I think you've been telling us that the overall project is not the workforce management framework, but the overall project is a strategic realignment of Emporia State's academic programs. So basically, Joanne, let me ask you, how long is putting this plan to place been in progress, or is it still kind of a work in progress, still some, for lack of a better term, tweaking to do on this?
You know, there is some discussion to still take place. So as you mentioned, yes, a group has been meeting for months. To really take a deep dive into programs across campus and really look at those programs from a variety of ways. We had data, we had anecdotal data, all kinds of things when we looked at and discussed those programs. We challenged one another. And that helped us get to the point where we are right now. Going forward, our goal is to involve the voices now of faculty, staff, even our students, in really helping us re-envision the path going forward. There is a plan, and part of that will be revealed as we go forward, but the specific details of that plan, we want input from our stakeholders.
You know, one of the criticisms over specifically the last 2 weeks has been, you know, from faculty that, aside from maybe some faculty leadership, that the faculty wasn't involved in the process, and Associated Student Government said that they weren't involved, or at least weren't notified until late in the game as well. And I guess the question comes up, you know, since the plan now is to involve faculty and staff going forward, what the process was and what the thought process was for what is being called late notice in the public here for those two groups.
So I think if this had been 2 to 3 years ago, we would have had the option to go through our traditional policies and procedures, which would have involved many more voices. But we really weren't in that situation at this point. We were in a situation where we had to act more urgently in making the decisions for the programs. The framework was really just a tool, the first piece of workforce realignment to move forward with the restructure. And because it involved personnel, that did involve some confidentiality. But there was an importance in moving with this step and getting this piece done now, because if we waited much longer, the situation would have been much worse for ESU. We probably would have experienced even more layoffs than we did now, and we didn't want to get to that point. It was important that we start re-envisioning ESU now and move forward to a sustainable, or we were going to be in a much more difficult situation.
Well, I'm sure you all are well aware of the frustrations that are felt on campus right now, and for good reason. This is a very difficult time for many people and programs up at Emporia State. And I've heard from a number of people up there, too, Dr. Brewer, that have said they've lost some trust, in the administration up at Emporia State, and they are not sure that this whole thing will not happen again somewhere down the road. I mean, I guess there's never any 100% assurance that will happen, but can you understand those frustrations?
You know, I certainly can, and having been a faculty member myself, at one point, I would probably feel much as they do, quite honestly, right now. What we had to do breaks my heart, but it was something that was necessary. But yes, I understand their frustration, and I certainly understand their lack of trust at this point. And I'm hoping that that's something that we're able to rebuild as we move forward, and we're able to provide them with more details of things moving forward. I hope that we can really build that sense of trust and that sense of hope for ESU moving into the future. And I can tell you at this point, the plan is no further cuts to our workforce. Of course, as you said, you can never make 100% guarantees, that we don't know ultimately what's going to happen. But our plan was to get this done in one move and then move forward to new hope for the future.
Not exactly sure if Dr. Brewer, you want to handle this, or Dr. Spotswood, you want to handle this, but it kind of leads the question into, why the as we do kind of get into the framework for workforce management now, why it was set up the way it was, specifically when it came to tenured faculty, and really what other options for Emporia State University were discussed to move the university forward and realign the operations.
The general framework was structured the way it was because it's actually designed by KBOR. So we followed the KBOR design structure for the framework. The ESU legal team then prepared our particular framework document. And what I can tell you again is that the workforce management framework was not something we ever wanted to have to use. But it became a necessary tool that was going to allow us to do things differently. A lot of our previous budget cuts were exactly that. They were budget cuts. They weren't strategic. There was really not a strategic plan, there weren't the resources always necessary to really move that plan forward in terms of how to truly make ESU more sustainable. What we were finding with those budget cuts is that resources were being cut from programs without the thought to long-term potential of that program. So, does that program have growth potential? Is it necessary for tomorrow's workforce? And if we continued on down that path of balancing our budget that way with cut after cut, we were going to get to a point where nothing was left, and it would significantly impact our programs that we did have. So as we explored this, so like I said, the framework wasn't something that we really wanted to have to use, and we looked at everything. We put everything on the table, and our discussions, our analysis, and recommendations were driven with the intent all the time that we wanted to deliver the best quality programs for our students while putting ESU in a sustainable position. And ultimately, it was the workforce management tool was the tool that gave us the flexibility, the urgency that we needed to be able then to move forward and take the next steps for the university.
Would it be safe to say, Joanne, I mean, because this obviously, it sounds pretty dire, the way we're looking at this and hearing things from the top administration at Emporia State at this point, that things are financially grim at Emporia State. Would it be safe to say if you continue down this path, there would have been a chance for Emporia State at some point to be non-existent?
I believe so. I will tell you, ESU is not broke right now, but if we continue the direction and the pattern that we've used, failure to act will mean failure in itself.
Jerry and Joanne, I wanted to get your thoughts on kind of the flip side of that, though. Is there any sort of guarantee in place that this will not possibly, reduce faculty and enrollment to a point where that becomes part of the equation, or at least part of the conversation?
I think just to reiterate something that Joanne has already said, that there is never really any guarantee of success here, but failure to act is a failure in itself. However, if our students, faculty, staff, alumni, and community pull together to restructure and reorganize our institution, we have the best chance of being here for another 159 years. Our focus is on students. None of this is their fault. We have to take responsibility and take decisive action to make sure they can still receive the best higher education opportunity from ESU for years to come.
Well, Jerry, we've heard the word strike zone from President Hush for basically a couple of years, ever since he's been in the post at Emporia State. Strike zone has been a key. So can you explain to everyone exactly what the strike zone is?
So the term strike zone by the president has been used to characterize those programs which we think will benefit the most from reinvestment, ones in which we are confident we can grow, broaden, and build upon the future. However, this does not mean that any other program is less important or has lower quality standards. We're dedicated to making sure that all ESU students in all programs have the best educational experience possible. Our restructuring and reorganization is going to help make that aspiration a reality. We want to be the best in the business. That means taking a hard look at what we can do, not only well, but do better than anyone else.
There's a couple of questions that come along with this, and both have been asked separately, but I figured I'd combine them here, because, one, there's clearly a loss of institutional knowledge that comes with this particular move, and, you know, we've been made aware of at least two ROAR Cross professors who have been part of this dismissal process. So you're looking at some of the best of the best in the professors, at least longstanding professors. We've also been told that the debate program, which may be small, but it's a prestige program, is part of the cuts. And, you know, there's also a separate concern about this being less driven by the raw data, the numbers, the realignment process, and more rooted in, say, political and ideological differences. So I wanted to ask you kind of a combination question is, A, how does the education quality not drop given the lack of institutional knowledge that's going to be, you know, heading out the door over the next 9 months? And B, what assurances can you give the public that this is data-driven and not politically driven?
So I'm actually going to flip that on you, and I'm going to take the political piece first, and
sure,
then I'll talk about quality. I will tell you that absolutely none of the discussions, and I was part of that group in the discussions, that absolutely none of those discussions, analyses, evaluations, recommendations that we discussed had any political motivation, goals, or affiliations. Politics took no place in our discussions, and they don't take a place in the governance of this institution or our function of providing a high-quality higher education to our students. Politics was definitely not a factor, I can assure you of that. Also, the group that did the work was made up of a group of people who have many different lived experiences, different identities, and that group represented a lot of different political and ideological perspectives. So we were well represented within that group of a diverse group of people. So those were not factors in those discussions. Our discussions focused on a programmatic review and moving to a future that makes ESU sustainable. In terms of the quality, you're right. We're, as part of the workforce realignment, we are losing some amazing individuals as part of that. But one of the things that we do all the time here at ESU is that we have faculty and staff who retire. We have faculty who quit mid-semester. I had two that walked away to other jobs right at the beginning of the semester. I've had individuals who've had to go on medical leave. And so we are all the time working to, you know, sometimes having to get classes classes covered, and I as a dean always do that with the highest quality of instruction. I want to ensure that students have good instruction in our courses. Teaching is a number one priority at this institution, and so I really think that moving forward, our programmatic realignment, the reorganization, will ultimately actually deepen and advance the ESU's ability to deliver a higher quality education, because we're really going to be focused on high-impact learning. We're going to be really focused in on those programs that we do well. And by becoming financially and operational successful means that we're going to be able to provide that long-term quality and be an institution that's hopefully here then for the next 159 years.
And Dr. Joanne Brewer, Interim Vice Provost and Dean of the Teachers College, also Jerry Spotswood, Dean of the Graduate School at Emporia State, and Gwen Larson, Director of Media Relations, with us on the ESU Buzz here this morning. Jerry, I mentioned Strike Zone, and you defined it for us, but what programs are, in a kind of broad stroke this, in the Emporia State University current Strike Zone?
Well, so we've made commitments to programs such as nursing, which we will be, you know, basically rolling out here shortly. But we've got some others that will be announced as we move forward. And most of those announcements we hope will be, you know, fairly soon over the next month or two.
And again, I just want to reiterate that because they're strike zone, doesn't make our other programs any less important.
That's the question that I wanted to ask too, because my oldest daughter is sophomore over at the high school, and she's considering Emporia State University, but her interests are theater and music, which are not strike zone programs. So that's the question I wanted to ask: is kind of why should she and why should we consider having our students go to Emporia State University if they're not going into the strike zone?
As I said, those programs that are not strike zone programs that we still maintain on campus are still going to be high-quality programs. They're still going to be characterized by what Emporia State is best known for, that student-centered education where we care about our students, our smaller class sizes. I think, you know, Emporia, we're moving to, through this realignment, students will still receive a quality education that will hold high value.
Gwen, let me bring you in here. Gwen, again, the Director of Media Relations. I know you make your rounds on campus often. What can you tell us about morale overall right now that you're feeling from not only administrative personnel, but professors, students? What's the feeling on campus right now that you view?
I would say it's been a cycle. I think everybody understands that when the first announcements came out and the first layoffs were happening, there was shock, there was sadness, there was grief. This has been a heartbreaking experience for everybody involved in it, not only the people who were told that they would not have a job after the academic year, but the people that had to share that information and make those decisions. These are their colleagues and their friends, and they know how deeply this will hurt. But on the other side, I think we've started to move away from that a little bit, and now people are curious about where we're going with this project. And that is something that we are working hard to be able to share with campus and then ultimately share with the public. But as Joanne said, you know, the first step had to be to let the faculty and staff who would be affected know first, then start talking to the chairs and the faculties in the department about where we want to move in the future, how we want to reinvest in some of our programs, and what we envision the future to be, and get their input, and then start sharing that with campus overall and ultimately the community.
How soon, because we're getting texts really as we speak right now, how soon could that word on the adjusted programs be coming?
You know, I really wish I could give you a date. I really wish I could even sort of give you a time frame. I think we're getting close on some, so perhaps in the next few weeks to a month. But as I'm sure everybody can understand, we need to have done all of the thinking and all of the planning and feel very comfortable with what the future look is for each program or department we're talking about before we share that.
Well, and I'm sure you know, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, that the fact of not knowing with faculty and staff and students and even members of this community tends to lead to speculation, some good, some bad. So I'm sure move at a fairly brisk pace to get that information out to those that are involved. Well, Chuck, do you have anything else?
I don't. Okay. Is there anything else here, Jerry? I want to start with you. Anything else that you feel that the community needs to know right now as things move forward?
I guess I would just like to emphasize that, we are in a time of sadness and mourning right now, and we are trying to do our best to inform students, to move, those affected, how we will work with them going through. But this is a scenario that we've seen way too often repeated on this campus, just as recently as a couple of years ago, affecting staff and non-tenured faculty. And we don't want to keep repeating this scenario. So that's why we moved in the ways that we did, looking at programmatic sorts of answers rather than just taking non-strategic cuts that, basically would just keep repeating the process. So this is, we have worked on this very hard, and we have some cleanup to do with students and faculty, and then new programs will be announced, not new programs, but new investments.
Dr. Brewer, anything in closing for us today?
One of the things I just want to say is that, as an alum of this institution and someone who's been here for 22 years, I love this institution. This has been an extremely difficult process, but I am very hopeful for the future of the institution and the plans that we have moving forward.
Well, we certainly appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
You're on the buzz. Thanks for stepping up and answering some questions here this morning. Dr. Joanne Brewer, Interim Vice Provost and Dean of the Teachers College, Jerry Spotswood, Dean of the Graduate School at Emporia State, and Gwen Larson, Director of Media Relations. We thank you all for your time this morning.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Have a good day. Jerry Spotswood, Gwen Larson, Dr. Joanne Brewer with us on the ESU Buzz.